Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Will she start defining some moments that she is a little bit different on than Joe Biden? How much does she hold on to his policies and start carving out her own agenda and her own vision for the country?
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Day 13 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk with TMJ4 News Chief Political Reporter Charles Benson about the visit of Vice President Kamala Harris today. It'll be her first since becoming the, and they're using the term, presumptive Democratic nominee for president. So we'll break that down with Charles, what's ahead for her, for us here in Milwaukee and Southeast Wisconsin today.
Most of us didn't know her name 2 weeks ago. Now there are calls across the country for her to step down. Kimberly Cheadle, the director of the Secret Service, is being asked and told to resign after the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. It's coming from both sides of the aisle.
Cheadle revealed that a local SWAT team spotted Thomas Crooks on the roof of that warehouse about 18 minutes before Trump took the stage.
On July 13th, we failed.
Cheadle says the Secret Service was alerted between 2 to 5 times about a suspicious person before the first shot was fired.
I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency.
But Cheadle says Crooks was not considered a threat until seconds before the shooting.
Even after this historic failure under her watch, Cheadle was insistent that she would not step down, treading very carefully in some of her answers before that House committee. Top Republican and Democrats both just grilling her. Wouldn't really answer a lot of questions, basically because the investigation is still underway. I have to admit, I was a little surprised that she was already up on Capitol Hill because it's still a very fresh situation. Although maybe that was the point.
You know, well, there are some questions you can answer.
That's true.
Like, for starters, how the hell?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Which is largely what this was about.
Were any Secret Service agents on the roof where gunman Thomas Crooks fired those shots? She wouldn't answer that. Did the gunman fly a drone over the area before the rally began? There's been talk that that happened, and she would not. She pivoted away from those. She did say that the FBI had told her about the possible drone, but it was still being investigated, so they really couldn't get into that. Calling it a colossal failure, but not wanting to step down. I thought this was very interesting. Listening to this, this is Congressman Ro Khanna, a Democrat. Listen to what he asks. He brings up the Reagan assassination attempt from 40-plus years ago.
Would you agree that this is the most serious security lapse since President Reagan was shot in 1981 of the Secret Service?
Yes, sir, I would.
And, you know, do you know what Stuart Knight did when he was in charge at the time of the Secret Service? Do you know what he did? Afterwards,
he remained on duty.
He resigned.
She thought he remained on duty. I can't figure out whether or not she actually thought that or if she was just assuming that that's where Ro Khanna was leading her at that moment, that congressman. Mm-hmm. But no, he stepped down. He stepped down because the president was almost killed. He continued.
Look, I'm not questioning your judgment. I just don't think this is partisan. If you have an assassination attempt on a president, a former president, or a candidate, you need to resign. That's what Stuart Knight did. He was a Republican appointee, and he took responsibility. And I think you need to reflect. This is not a question of you. It's a question of the American people. You cannot go leading a Secret Service agency when there is an assassination attempt on a presidential candidate. I would say that about anyone.
So as of now, she refuses to step down. Impeachment talk is now buzzing on Capitol Hill.
I'm frankly less interested in that end of the conversation and more interested day to day on new details, new information about the shooter. I feel like we know very little about him.
Right. I agree.
And we were talking earlier, like if this were a school shooter, We'd know everything about his background. We would have heard from friends, people who knew him. This heavy, and I'm not saying there's been no reporting on that, but it just seems odd.
Seems oddly
vague. Lack of detail about him, about a motive, about his trail before he got to that moment. In fairness, last week we were very distracted by what was going on here in Milwaukee with the Republican National Convention. But I feel like there are a lot of missing pieces here. And I don't know, is there a gusto to go out and get that? Is it like...
Boy, I hope so.
Right?
We definitely have an appetite to learn more about Crooks.
The number of touch points that he had apparently with law enforcement, Secret Service or otherwise, in that moment or in that time before he actually fired those shots is extraordinary. The things that they saw and witnessed that put them on their radar. Amazing. Why wasn't anything done? Why don't you hold the former president then for a minute until you got things figured out? If you've got your eye on some guy and then he's not there and you can't see him, hang on a second, right? I mean, these seem like basic things.
Right, just to say, hey, pull back. Let's have the former president
back. What happened to that guy with the rangefinder that we found? What happened to that guy who was walking suspiciously out around here? What happened to that guy that you were watching that we were a little worried about? Does anyone have eyes on him? And why still it was like, meh, I don't know. Or was there lack of communication between the various entities? You know, it's not just Secret Service there. As we learned, if you were here in Milwaukee, police officers from all over the country. Now, this is a smaller event, obviously, but you have local law enforcement, you have police, you have sheriff's office, you have maybe people from outside communities, plus Secret Service. You know, so you got a lot of different people that got to talk to each other. But was it a breakdown within there? I just feel like it's far enough away that we should have more detail. And at this point, we don't. 8:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Took less than 48 hours to have the words presumptive nominee attached to Vice President Kamala Harris' name. I'm a little bit surprised at the speed with which that occurred. Or am I not at all surprised? You had two options if you were the Democrats after President Biden's announcement on Sunday. You either say, look, it's really important for us to make this look like a full-out process, to invite other candidates to do the thing, to, you know, or we got to make this fast. Everybody get on board. This is the nominee. We're going to elevate her. And it appears the latter is what occurred.
They follow the president's lead, it appears, per se. And now they have them. Enough delegates have now pledged their commitment to the VP, including here in Wisconsin. Here's the Democratic Party Chair, Ben Wickler.
More than 90% of Wisconsin's 95 delegates have already pledged their support for Vice President Harris at the convention.
And Wickler also says he doesn't know of any delegates who are going to vote against Harris at this time.
Chief political reporter for TMJ4 News here in Milwaukee, Charles Benson, is live with us this morning. Charles, to my point on how the Democrats played this following the president's announcement, any surprise that it was the quick rush to support VP Harris versus making it seem like this was an actual process?
I am not surprised that they are quickly coalescing around VP Harris. I mean, I thought that would have been the strategy all along, and it makes a lot of sense for one big reason: money. She needs to be on the ticket to help with the campaign money that's already been raised with the Biden-Harris team. Now, she also, in Democratic circles, deserves it based on her time in office and her time with the president. So I think it was an easy choice, especially for the Wisconsin delegation, that they were already 100% around Biden. There wasn't really anybody except for Pocan calling for Biden to step aside. So when this all transpired within the last 48 hours, I suspected that this was where they were going to go. I think it's just amazing how quickly things have moved. I mean, on Sunday, we get the word that he's dropping out. By Monday, she's not only secured the Wisconsin delegates, but apparently has enough now to secure the nomination.
And the excitement that you can feel among the Democrats, Charles, I mean, to the point of did they do the right thing here? Apparently she's raised an additional $100 million already since that announcement. To clearly, in talking with Democrats who were really worried about a Biden candidacy, they're at least re-energized and optimistic and hopeful more so than they've been in months.
Absolutely. I mean, they've gone from, you know, talking about age and ability, about whether he's going to stay in, if he's going to drop out. I mean, that was the narrative. He was trying to close the door on that narrative that he insisted, Joe Biden insisted, he was staying in, yet the question grew louder and louder as he was trying to make his closing argument on trying to beat Donald Trump. So he never was able to close the door. And when this moment happened, the surge, and I think that's the best word to use it, the surge towards Vice President Harris was just almost instantaneous. And so here we are, another fast-moving moment in American politics. And a lot of it's going to unfold in Milwaukee in a few hours when she makes her first campaign stop.
What do we know about her trip today?
You know, I'm guessing it's going to be a rally to sort of, you know, look past the moment here in terms of what Joe Biden has been able to accomplish and where they need to go. I always say these speeches can be defining moments. So I'm looking to see how much she sort of relates to the moment, the historic moment of not only what's happened in the last 24, 48 hours, but the historic moment for her as an African-American woman who's now at the top of the ticket. So there's so much to see and unpack here. And then lay the case out for, you know, where she wants to go. Will she start defining some moments that she is a little bit different on than Joe Biden? How much does she hold on to his policies and start carving out her own agenda and her own vision for the country?
The president spoke yesterday via phone at her announcement when she chatted with the staff there at the Delaware headquarters for president. And Biden made a comment that both Vince and I thought was kind of interesting, Charles. He said, "Hey, I'm going to be out there with you," as if he were going to campaign with the VP. What do you make of that?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. I would not be surprised by that. Joe Biden likes the campaign. He loves the campaign. I mean, when he was in Madison about a week after that debate, you know, you saw a scripted Joe Biden who just, you know, was energized by the event. And when you go to these campaign rallies, and this is why I always encourage people to go to rallies, you just get a different vibe than, you know, you get the entire speech, you get the entire moment. And there's a lot of, you know, cheering and holding up signs. So I am not surprised that Joe Biden has made that decision. And, you know, I see him being out there almost as much as the vice president.
You would expect, Charles, to that point, for folks here in Wisconsin to have a lot of opportunities to attend a rally, if indeed they're public here in the next few months. Going to see Trump, going to see Vance, going to see Harris, whoever her VP nominee ends up being. They'll be here in Wisconsin. What do you think these future events will look like, however, in terms of accessibility to people? It probably has a lot to do with the attempt on the former president's life, like just a little over a week ago. But like this event, for example, there's like no public reporting on where it is. It's not one of these things where, hey, tickets are available or anything like that. Are we going to see those big public events on either side of the aisle here in Wisconsin?
I'm waiting to see that. You're right. I mean, things changed after the assassination attempt on the former president. And, you know, I go to these events all the time and see a lot of security. So the checking in, the getting being there early to get all of your equipment screened. I mean, these are just normal procedures that have happened. And anyone who went inside Pfizer Forum last week knows just how much security can surround these political events. So did they change? My guess is they have. And it would be unfortunate from the standpoint because the outdoor rallies can hold a lot more people than the indoor rallies. And as more and more people want to participate in these things, it may be harder and harder to secure that ticket or the effort or the ability to get into one of these events.
TMJ4's Charles Benson with us this morning. Thanks for the perspective, Charles. Enjoy your very busy day once again. Right back at it.
All right. Yes, here we go again.
Thanks, Charles. 8:31 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric's beside himself because the U.S. team has not yet announced the flag bearer.
I'm a little frustrated by this.
We knew LeBron James is going to be one of the flag bearers for the United States for the opening ceremonies in Paris on Friday.
And they said that a female flag bearer would be announced today.
All morning in here. I can't believe they haven't.
It has not been all morning. I have mentioned it maybe 8 or 9 times.
Thought we'd know by now. We'll find out, I promise.
Meanwhile, we're told that everyone loves the Olympic Village, but no one's allowed in the Olympic Village. It's basically athletes and some coaches, but otherwise no one else can get in there. So it's not like moms and dads can show up there. You can't have your little brother helping you carry your microwave up to the room in the Olympic
Village. You guys can leave. God.
Do they have an orientation for everybody? Like, where they all get into one of the corner rooms of the dorm?
Yes, just so like you have in college. Hall monitor or whatever. Right? RA. Yeah. RA. Right.
Anyway, they are talking more about the cardboard beds.
Diver Tom Daly posting about the cardboard beds athletes will have to sleep on.
As you can see, it's like a box. Then you've got the mattress. And then these cardboard boxes here, like so, with the mattress on top and a mattress topper.
Paris organizers have said the beds were chosen for environmental reasons, not to discourage athletes from having, say, too much fun.
They're pretty sturdy.
Inez de la Quaterra, ABC News, Paris.
Yes, there was some thought.
No worries about that, mate. I checked it.
We're worried about athletes having too much fun, if you know what we mean.
That's said to be a thing.
Oh, yeah. It's not unprecedented to
another reason, like you said, they like the Village. And nobody there to see it or talk about it.
Anyway, all
a refuge of sorts
are on Paris for the big opening ceremonies, which start Friday night.
The boxes are fine, though, right? It's just the base.
Yeah, he said they're sturdy.
Sleeping in cardboard.
No, they are athletes, so they need a little bit something better, but I'm sure they're not.
You expect a nice mattress.
I would hope so.
Six on Wisconsin's Morning News. EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh continues today. The week-long celebration of aviation kicking off Monday. That was a scorcher. I think it was an F-35 up. I was off in the distance trying to, like anytime you hear that, which one is that? Whoa, whoa. So a lot of that sound going for the daily air shows, including everything from aerobatics to fighter jets. Things kicked off, sadly, Eric, with a small plane going down. We reported on this in the news. Early in day one, right near the airport.
Do know that an airplane went down there. The Milwaukee Flight Standards District Office has informed us there were 2 fatalities because of that incident. We're still learning more information right now. And
so went to find EAA's Dick Napinski right away after I got on site. So I was up there with my son. We'd gone up to do a bunch of reporting there. And so as we're driving in, just north of Fond du Lac, and, you know, I lived in Oshkosh for a year, worked in Green Bay for a number of years, covering EAA here as well, of course. And so I know the area, and we're just north of Fond du Lac, and I saw the black smoke.
Yeah.
I looked over at my son, and I just said, I don't like where that smoke is. It's got to be near the airfield. And sure enough, my fears were confirmed as we arrived. I'm like, that's just south of the airfield. And it turned out, in fact, yes, you had a small plane that crashed, 2 people dead, as you heard Napinski say there. FAA, NTSB are on site through this thing, so they're going to investigate and find out what happened. I mean, the reality is these things happen at EAA. How many people did you see, and if you saw any social media on it, reacting in the same way, like, yep.
Yeah, it happens. Right.
But it happens because you have, I mean, look at the number, 10,000 aircraft are flying into East Central Wisconsin for this week. So it's sad, but the show goes on. These pilots, whether they're hobbyists or whether they're professionals, they understand that accidents happen in the air. Mm-hmm. And obviously you have the increased visibility because of EAA, but these things happen and the show goes on. So talked to a lot of folks out there. The convention, more than 600,000 entries expected for the week. So that would be 600,000 visitors at the gates. So you don't have an additional 500,000 plus people here,
right.
But because many people go for the week. Nonetheless, it's a huge deal. A lot of folks are there just to see airplanes. There's also a lot of folks who are super into the industry, whether they be hobbyists, whether they be people that are connected to manufacturers or whatever. So some of the stuff that's talked about there is really wonky. I was in this news conference with the CEO of EAA, And he's getting into like fuel additives, and there's this lobbying effort. We've been trying to get lead out of the jet fuel, and that's a big thing. And he's getting, I'm looking over at my son. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Like at some point, it's going to get interesting for us. You have aviation reporters who report specifically for that. So like, think of whatever you're super into. If it's a sport, if you're super into tennis, what's interesting to you being super into tennis is not interested to most sports fans. So they get really into the weeds on some of the stuff.
It's not only entertainment. There's a lot of technical stuff that goes on here during the week.
I just want to see planes fly really fast. I can see that, right?
Airplanes fly really fast here. I tell you, we're going to have, they beat up the air and make a lot of noise. And so everything from the F-22, F-35, A-10s, the Canadian F-18 will be here. So we'll have all of that if you like the big, fast whiz-bang stuff.
And then again, Dick Nepinski, he is the communications director for EAA, has been there since the Wright brothers' third flight.
I think not right there. From
no, Dick's been there a long time and he's awesome. Is super accessible and a really great guy to talk to. A lot of chances to get up close to and in some cases inside aircraft that are on display.
And there's like controls not only in front but also behind and on the ceiling.
So it looks like that would probably be a pretty tough job.
Yeah.
Talking with his family, the little ones got up in the cockpit of one of these huge cargo planes. The C-17 Globemaster 3 is parked right out there in the tarmac, and you can go up in it. So you come in the back. These are the things that they carry heavy vehicles in. They
it's massive.
Can do cargo drops and stuff, like, you know, with the parachutes where they airdrop stuff. Yeah. So it's right. It's bigger than your house. You can go inside it, and then they have pilots and the crew standing out there to answer all of your questions. They're super friendly. They're so excited to tell you about what they do. A lot of folks from our Wisconsin Air National Guard out on scene. They had an F-35, one of the newer ones based out of Madison, parked there that you can get up pretty close to. One of the huge KC-135 stratotankers for the refueling unit here, 128th in Milwaukee. So a lot of folks to talk to, answer your questions, tons to see. I got a whole bunch of stories to tell about EAA. We'll do that through the week here on Wisconsin's Morning News. AirVenture runs through Sunday. Gates open at 7 a.m. daily.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
WTMJ forecast brought to you by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. Got to get through today and early tomorrow, and then we got a stretch of sunshine. High temperatures in the upper 70s to low 80s Thursday, Friday, Saturday. For today, scattered storms likely. Couple of waves late morning, and then once again this afternoon, some scattered storms developing. High of 82 degrees.
We need to clarify something about Jordan Love. We got to get something out there that I don't think people realize.
Okay.
He's at camp.
So he's not holding out. He's just not practicing.
He's just not practicing because he wants a new deal. And we had Jason Wilde on from ESPN Wisconsin. He was on instead of Mark Tauscher today because Tausch is off. And he shared a story that we both thought was just incredible about this situation. And it gives a little insight. So he was talking to Sean Clifford, who's a buddy of Jordan's, backup QB.
Right, number two on the depth chart.
Here's what he said. It's a minute long. Listen to this story that Jason Wilde shared with us earlier on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Myself and a couple of other beat writers are talking to Sean Clifford at his locker. And I asked Sean, you know, hey, did you know you and Jordan are tight? Did he give you any sort of a heads up that this was going to be the case and he wasn't going to practice? He was going to come to meetings and everything else, watch practice, but that he was not going to practice. And Sean said, yeah, Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember which day it was, but he told me that this was the likely scenario. So Sean Clifford wakes up yesterday morning knowing that he is going to be running the number one offense for the Green Bay Packers. He gets ready for work, goes into the stadium, gets there at 7 o'clock, okay? Practice starts at 10:30. I think the team meeting was at 9, so he's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Hey, this is my big day.
Right, here we go.
Getting here early. He looks over, puts his stuff in his locker, looks over, and Jordan Love's backpack is in front of Jordan's locker. He's already in the building, meeting with Matt LaFleur, going over stuff. He's not practicing because of the risk, but he's doing everything else. And I thought Sean Clifford did such a great job of giving us insight into what that tells us about Jordan.
You know, it's interesting. That really rang true with me because one of the last contracts I did with TMJ4 when I was there, you know, we were close to a longer-term deal. And, you know, I wanted that deal to get done. And then so I came for a number of days. I came to work at my normal time, but then when it came time to anchor the news, I didn't go out there.
That's not true.
And I just said, you know, I'm here, I'm doing a lot of the things, I'm talking to people.
No, helping
just not
write
actually
scripts,
anchoring the news or writing anything.
But
I'm
not
here.
True.
Yeah, that's a true story.
That did not happen.
I know it's different.
No, you
right,
and him are the
sports,
same. No, you guys are
I probably
same.
Wasn't going to fall down and ruin my career at any time I anchored. Although there's precedent for that. And we'll leave it there for today. Tracy Johnson in.
There it is.
For the Political Power Hour on WTMJ next.